I find Ella's journals immediately on a table by the entrance, stacked under a post-it with my name on it. 6 books, all with hard canvas backings and each a different color. They seem both childish and prematurely ancient. I open one, beige cover. Sharp scent of its paper is full of elsewhere. The handwriting is neat, round letters anchored to the lines of every page. Some entries are a paragraph, others much longer. I turn to a page at random and begin to read.
Alana House has no borders. Walls are doors, open to breezes blown across rice fields, orange orchards, and tea plantations. Jasmine is everywhere, on the highway with its trucks and motorcycles, and at the roadside pineapple stands and noodle shops. I first noticed it on the tarmac of the tiny airport, its sweet, heavy scent.
It's ridiculous to feel this frisson and hint of smell from words alone. A thought flies up, made of sounds. I'd rather be her than here. It doesn't make sense. Ella could be dead. Maybe Siobhan is deluded to think she can be found. No. Siobhan is strange, secretive and intense, but not deluded. And she has lost a daughter, twice. Once given up, once taken away by the world. Flipping through the pages, I feel embarrassed, catching phrases not meant for my eyes. Her is Ella. She is so alive in her journals, the way I want to be. Looking for her feels urgent, a task with clear edges, purpose. She is someone I might love. Here is a room with wide windows, a metallic sky rising like a dome over rooftops and monuments. Far below, in a park, branches are bone white under veils of leaves. Nothing moves, and it is cold for early summer. The clean white emptiness of the studio flat makes me think of Irigaray, that feminist philosopher of watery things who thought women use pronouns differently than men, who cast herself as the marine lover of Nietzsche, and who, a professor once told me this, lived in a white apartment, wore only white, and would not let others touch her. This is what I see. Others might say what a nice flat this is. Here is also the city I left a month ago, returning to it now, audaciously, as if the place were a sort of home. I feel its foreignness more acutely. The language still trips my tongue, and I don't know this part of town. I was probably wrong to return. Today is the 16th of June. The date is significant because Ella began the journals on the same day 8 years ago. Siobhan must know this, working carefully as she does. When Ella disappeared more than 6 years ago, her adoptive parents conducted a search in Thailand. The detective failed to turn up anything, only a few interviews, inconclusive, in the village where she lived. Even so, I'd rather be him, too, tracking Ella through jungles. All I have are her words, their rhythms, bodiless and abandoned. Closing the beige book, I slip out the journal at the bottom of the stack. Green cover. The pages are stiffer, marked by rings of salt and warped by sea air. Her handwriting has changed. Black threads of sentences unfurling over ruled paper.
I have glimpses into what is real. Can't sustain them. Thresholds vanish as I try to enter. The world I'm writing is already gone.
I flip back, looking for context. A guest house in the hills near Chiang Rai. Teakwood gives the room its odor, rich and sharp. A breeze touches my face and arms. Her face and arms, which, as I read, are mine. Someone is packing, suitcase on the bed. His back is turned, and his white shirt stands out against polished wood walls. Behind him, through wall-sized doors, hills stretch into Myanmar. Reading on, I see the brown track of the river, layered green hills going forever. Then a sun flash through the window returns me to myself and to here, to this white room in Paris.